Welcome to the Willingdon On Mission podcast, a place where you can hear stories of how God is working and consider how He might be calling you to engage in His mission. You can find other episodes online at willingdon.org. Now, here's our host, John Best.
Well, welcome everyone to this episode of the Willingdon On Mission podcast. My name's John. I get to serve as one of the pastors at Willingdon. Today, I'm sitting with Karen Sanchez. Karen's a missionary in Thailand, along with her husband, Ricky. Karen, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here, actually in person. Lots of times we've connected on Zoom. Today we're sitting in the same room.
Yes, it's so lovely.
It's fun. Karen, I've just got a few questions for you today and thought we would have some conversation. First question is this. We were talking about this just a few minutes ago. Is there still need for long-term missionaries in this world? That's my first question. Yeah. And then a subsequent question is, talk to me about short-term mission. But first, do we need long-term missionaries still?
Yeah, great question. You just got at one of my great passions. So I would say a definitive yes to that for sure. I know the world is changing and you know, culture's changing around us, but I think that biblical mandate is still there, and I think it's for everybody. I think it's for everybody who calls Jesus, you know, their Lord and Savior. There's an invitation to be involved in missions somehow. So whether, you know, like we've lived in Thailand overseas over 25 years, so that is still a necessary part of it as well as being part of the sending or, you know, coming in short term. But to actually live there and be incarnational and kind of go through the seasons of people's lives and model what it means to walk in discipleship with Jesus is a huge gift to countries that particularly are looking at first-generation Christians. So in Thailand, we've just seen that kind of every stage of our life has been really appreciated by our new Thai believers. So I would hope to see more young people saying yes and going out across the nations, particularly the highly unreached ones.
Yeah. Thailand would be one of those, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard you say recently that it's 0.5% Christian or something like that.
Yeah. Some people will be generous and say up to, you know, 0.7, okay. But it still feels very, very unreached. Yeah.
Yeah. So if there's still a need for long-term missionaries, so those of you listening, just place that in your brain.
Yes,
in your
contact
spirits.
Us.
Contact Karen.
We can use you.
Yeah, good. Talk to me about short-term mission. You guys have such a long history of hosting short-term teams, lots and lots. I've been on a couple of them.
Yes.
And I feel actually hesitant to go again. I'll tell you why. Because your husband, Ricky, said one time when I was there, if anybody ever comes three times to Thailand, they're going to be a long-term missionary in Thailand. So I've gone twice.
Yeah, you got to go. As soon as you say you don't want to go,
right.
You know, God's going to get you there.
Yeah. Just talk to us about short-term mission. What are some of the benefits? And is there still a place for short-term mission?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. And it tends to be quite a question that has strong opinions on both sides. Mm-hmm. Definitely, Ricky and I would fall into the side of we are big believers in short-term missions for so many reasons that I probably can't get into all of them on a podcast. But there's definitely benefit for the person going in their own walk with Jesus. And the hope then is not only do they kind of come into a new renewed relationship with God, seeing God work in different ways than maybe they've seen before, but also when they go home, one of our great prayers is that they actually infuse their sending church, their local church, with a new desire to kind of be missionaries in their neighborhood. So we have some fantastic examples of that over the 25 years we've been there. There's one church in particular in Winnipeg that came home, and the team just kind of went like, we don't have to move over to Thailand to be missionaries. And they really got involved in the refugee committee, adopted a family from Somalia. And it's just like you talk to people now and they feel like they're a different church. Mm. And so that is huge for the participants that go. I think on our side, we're looking to see like in a big group that might come, say 10 to 12 people, we're going, okay, God, would you raise up one-term, long-term missionary? Would you raise up a giver that's going to give significantly to the work? Because every missionary is dependent on good giving. Mm-hmm. And then one intercessor that would say, you know what, I'm going to pray for that global mission thing. So that's a win for us on the field. And then for, like in our context, Thai or Cambodian believers, for them to see people volunteering, that's something that's often not kind of in their cultural background growing up, and it's a part of discipling them. And often, especially when we have older people, it helps our Thai and Cambodian believers who tend to be quite young. It's usually the young people that come to Christ, kind of get a vision for, oh, this is a lifetime journey with Jesus. Mm. And so it's a mutual blessing both ways. So a resounding yes.
Yeah. So Willingdon, well, we were actually going to send a short-term team, and then COVID hit. We had something scheduled.
Yes.
We'll do it again.
Amen.
So amen. Can you just give us, like, what kind of things would a short-term team do?
Yeah. Yeah. We like to spend a lot of time with the leader in the planning stages and just kind of looking at the gift mix of the people that are signing up. So we obviously have ministries that are running all the time and that we can plug you into, whether it's the orphanage. We do stuff at a cancer center. We go into Phoi Phet and do a ministry there in Cambodia, church planting, kids clubs, you name it. But I think for us, one of the things that keeps it fresh and just always invigorating is that whatever your team looks like, there may be a skill in there that we've never even considered, you know? So I like to use one example from way back. There was a professional skipper.
Oh.
Literally skipping rope professional. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Neither did I.
Yeah. And so she was part of the team and the leader was kind of going, okay, we have this professional skipper, you know, not of a boat, you know, and can you use her? And so it was just so exciting to kind of put that before the Lord and go, okay, what do you want to do with this? And in the end, it was like the big highlight, because we would use her in like either a market setting or a new neighborhood that a local pastor wanted to get into. And she would do a skipping show with some music and we'd all be there with tracks and, you know, getting ready to hand out flyers. And then we'd bring in, after she gathered a big crowd, we'd bring in the local pastor and he would present the gospel. And it just kind of kept us waiting and open to see, okay, what that team has is going to be different than any other team that's come. Yeah. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks. Changing gears. You and Ricky have entered into a new stage of life, haven't you? So
yes.
you're empty nesters. Yeah. Let me just say, like, you guys are really young to be
Thank
empty
you.
Nesters.
Thank you. Good,
yeah.
good call. Good
Thank
call.
You. Yeah. I thought about how to say that. So what I know is this, when people kind of enter the empty nest stage, sometimes it's a time of significant transition out of a career, like maybe you hit retirement or there's different possibilities, right?
Yeah.
So just talk to me a little bit about this stage of life and how has the Lord been directing the two of you in this stage?
Yeah. Yeah. And good job at keeping us young in that conversation.
Thank
good
you.
Job. Yeah, it's a new season. We've been empty nesters now for almost a year. And it definitely is true. Like a lot of our friends who are in that same age category will decide to retire from the overseas field. Because, you know, for us, we've got kids that are age 19 to 26. We have four girls. My parents are 84. Ricky's parents have passed away. But there's, you know, there's a pull. There's a pull to be here and to be discipling our own kids. Mm-hmm. And yet the work does not feel finished at all. The call doesn't feel like God has said, yep, that season is done. So we're trusting that God is going to be raising up new young leaders that will take over a lot of the kind of pioneering entrepreneurial type things that we were doing. And I think we're shifting our focus to be more focused on like our best contribution for those young leaders is pouring into them, and that they are really going to take it further, you know, than we have ever taken it. At the same time, we see that, with travel being open again, that there is that pull to come home and actually be here, you know, for our family and keep the ministry in people's minds. So sharing in churches and different groups and raising support and prayer support. Luckily, and it's a blessing for Ricky and I, we have two particular women in our lives. They're both Canadian. One's in Cambodia. She's 87. She's still there running an HIV orphanage with 200 kids that she started 20 years ago as a widow. Fantastic lady. Marie Enns is her name. And then we have another one in Thailand who's about 78, also has been there for about 40 years. And both of them are like, retirement? Are you crazy? I want to die here. You know? So we have a few of these kind of older saints that have gone ahead and have given us a picture, an image of like, okay, you might have to shift a bit and pivot a bit, but really, if we're healthy, there's so much to be done still.
Yeah, awesome. As I've watched the two of you over this past few years, I've seen you start new ministries and have fresh ideas and step into them. And I think like you guys have been in Thailand for quite a while, so it would be actually probably easy to just stay with what you had been doing. But can you just talk about some of the new ministries that you've, and this will help us pray for you with some effectiveness. Talk about some of the new ministries that you've been working with and like what they are and why.
Yeah. Thanks for asking. I think for our particular personalities, had we shifted into just doing what we knew, that wouldn't have worked for us. So we love the new, which is good. So we did start noticing that, particularly with the orphanage, as we got a bigger and a more well-known name in Thai culture, Thai society, the government, we started getting more and more cases of particularly vulnerable women at risk showing up with their children and kind of saying, here, take our child. So some of them were sex workers in Pattaya, which is very well known. It's about an hour from us. And some of them were just women in crisis. And so one of our high values is to never, ever create an orphan when they're not truly an orphan, right? Which is why we chose HIV AIDS, because both parents have passed away, no relatives. So about 7 years ago, we started adding these programs under the umbrella of the Abundant Life Foundation, which we have in Thailand. So we started with Project Standing Strong, and that's taking in women from the sex trade who otherwise would want to give their babies to an orphanage. So we will take them and their children and give them, you know, emotional therapy, discipleship, job training, microloans, and get them back on their feet, and so they'll live with us for a number of years.
So just to be clear, there are some women who are in the sex trade who would want to just give their children.
Oh yeah, it happens all the time.
But because they're not true orphans, you wouldn't take.
Right, that's right. Yeah. So we, in the beginning, we would say no, but we'd have this internal conflict of like, you know, because then they probably would go to a government home. It's not like they would be able to keep them in the brothel. So we opened this. We work closely with Tamar Ministries, who is in Pattaya. So we have a lot of overlap with that. So if they have a woman with a child, because they also help women out of trafficking, they'll send them to us. So that was the first one that we started. And then we started noticing we were getting calls from pregnant women in crisis. So no partner, for whatever reason, they were alone. And so we started BAP, Babies Are Precious, and we just kind of, again, pivoted and just went, it's all about keeping children from being orphans, right? So our model for the kids that we've had for years is creating little family units, and now we started saying yes to women who are pregnant and in crisis, so they come. Same thing, we find them a job. We work with them while they're pregnant, and then after the pregnancy, help them kind of get back on their feet and make some big decisions that they're going to have to figure out with their new baby. And then the last one was called, we call it Families Belong Together, FBT. So again, we were getting calls from government social workers with, say, a mom who was abused or for whatever reason kind of had to start again, leave a domestic abuse situation and maybe had three kids, so just wanted to give us their kids. And so we knew we had to say no, because often what happens is in that situation, the mom will drop their kids off and try and get a job somewhere and never come back for a number of reasons. The stats are all there. So we developed this program where, again, we'll say yes to the mom. So we've had one mom come with five kids, and we just make room, put some mats on the floor and kind of adjust. rather than saying, yeah, we'll take your kids. And then, we're creating a situation where those children may not see their mom again. Mm. So that's been really exciting, keeps us on our toes. And the Thai believers that our staff have just risen to the challenge. And we're just seeing that God is imparting wisdom for us to do these things.
Awesome. Thank you. So those of you listening, now we've got some things to pray for.
Yes.
you guys are having huge impact in really, really tangible ways. So
Thank you as you continue to serve.
I'm going to close by praying. Okay.
Awesome.
And if anyone wants to get in touch with Karen, find me. I'll put you in touch.
Yes.
And they are, as you know, always looking for people to pray, people to give, and they want you to show up there
yes,
too.
Yes, we do.
So we'll work on that. Yeah.
Awesome.
Let's pray. So Lord, thank you so much for Karen. Thanks for the opportunity to have this conversation. I pray for both Karen and Ricky that your spirit would continue to empower them afresh, shape them as you see fit, give them your vision for ministry, mm-hmm. and continue to use them in mighty ways. Some of the things that they're stepping into, many of the things they're stepping into, they can face significant opposition, both just from culture, but also from the enemy. And
yeah.
so we stand against that in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And ask that you would continue to open up pathways for them to be your hands and feet in really wonderful, practical ways. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Karen. It's been awesome to chat.
Thank you. It was really fun.
God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you too.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Willingdon On Mission podcast. We hope you have been inspired by your time with us today. To learn more about Willingdon's outreach ministries, or to hear more episodes of this podcast, find us online at willingdon.org.